This is Average Advice. I'm Zar.
And I'm Tim. Average guys, average stories, average advice.
Welcome to season two, where new and exciting things are on the way.
Stay tuned and stay average.
You
think we ever promised?
Nah.
Yes, welcome back.
I never know what face to put whenever that's playing.
Average advice. Thank you, Lizzie. Yeah, whoa. I feel like our last intro was lame.
Yeah, that one's way better.
Yeah. Well, we talk about the intro every single episode, but we kind of have to. But yeah, it really gives us the good vibes for the episode, you know?
And it's good because we can play it live now because we have this thing. And so we could gauge the reactions of people.
People start laughing at us.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got a full house today. This is the first time we've got two whole guests.
Two whole guests?
I'm surprised you guys have two whole friends.
I know.
Same.
One and a half, maybe.
Same. Yeah.
Well, here for bribery, I'm sure.
Well, we thank you because it's really hard to get people on. Some people are just like, yeah, I'll come on. And then you're like, okay, let's go to the day. They're like, oh, actually, nah. Yeah. And then you're just like.
Introduce yourselves anyway. We got Lizzie.
Hi, I'm Lizzie.
And Sam.
Oh, is that short for Samuel?
In fact, no, it's actually Samwise Gamgee.
Ah, yeah. Yes.
Man, you've lost a lot of weight somehow.
I carried it for you for a while. But yeah, thanks for coming on, guys. So obviously, I knew you guys from Capital Pathology, where you work as scientists. Budding scientists.
Ooh. Well, I've been a scientist for like 5 years now, so I'm not exactly budding.
Okay, it's not a competition now.
Yeah. As blooming, blooming scientists. And how do you find the work?
Oh,
you can talk shit.
Yeah, Lizzie's got that.
You can talk shit if you want. If your boss is here, they can fucking deal with it.
Like sometimes it's really interesting, and then other times I just want to shoot myself in the face.
I think that's every job though.
Yeah. Like there's parts of it that I love, and there's parts of it that I hate.
I feel like, you know, because obviously I work there as well. I mean, in that kind of work, a lot of the time it's sort of routine daily. Like it's a lot of the same stuff over and over. So you will get interesting stuff, but all the time you're like, oh my, just doing the same shit all the time.
Yeah. All jobs get mundane after a while because that's how mundane. That's the whole definition of the word.
It's just funny when there's like a group of scientists around like an analyzer or a computer because it's either something really good or something really bad.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there was this one time I remember I think it was Rachel was like, oh, do you have another tube of this the EDTA tube? And I was like, yeah, maybe. Why? She's like, oh, I don't know. This guy's hemoglobin level. He should be dead. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's another one in storage. She checks it. She's like, no, it's the same. What the fuck? And she was just like, there is no, she's like, I don't understand how he is alive. Like she was just like, what do you
mean? Every now and again, you get those results and you're just like, how did you walk into a collection center? Like, how are you not in hospital? Like,
yeah.
You get it at hospital, you're like, well, you deserve to be there, but otherwise, like, what the fuck?
So for our listeners who-
it's like you just spoke Chinese.
For our listeners who don't know, yeah, pathology, study of disease, study of, you know, so they do, you go into the doctor's clinic, you get blood tests.
All the blood test places.
These are the two that are diagnosing.
They're all laughing at all the diseases you have.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, no, not even kind of. I
that's
feel like
100%.
We look at every single one like clinical notes.
Man, this guy's fucked, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Every now and again, you get a clinical note and the doctor is just like, all okay, ? And nothing's okay. It's like, nobody, he's not doing well.
That's like one of the ranges, but sometimes you'll get clinical notes that are like, oh, exposure to Peter Dutton. And it's like COVID testing.
Exposure to Peter Dutton.
Tested for a lot more than COVID.
Mate. You know what's funny is because-
it's a deadly disease, that one.
The job I'm in now, coming from Capital, where we see a lot of doctor request forms, but now I'm dealing with the other side of people trying to import medication and they have to provide prescriptions. Mm-hmm. And some of the prescriptions you receive, you're like, what the fuck is your doctor doing? They know how to write a script. What the fuck is this shit? Like sometimes you'll get an actual prescription. You're like, well, yeah, that's normal. But sometimes you just have to provide a written authority. Mm. So they can write like kind of like a letter as long as it contains certain criteria, but they'll just be like, this person needs this drug. And you're like,
why?
You haven't given me a quantity, the dosage, or like anything. You're like, fucking doctors, man.
I feel like at that point, it's probably just the doctor signing off what the patient wants.
Yeah.
Well, I think any industry where you have to read doctors' writing is just, you're going to have a bad time.
It's a skill. It's
you definitely pick it up. Like someone just scrolls on a page now and I start to see letters.
You're like, but the thing with Capital is a lot of the time you guys will see the same doctors.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like Capital, it's all Canberra. So you'll see like, if there's a doctor that handwrites a lot, you get used to the handwriting. You'll see it all the time. You're like, oh yeah, that's iron studies, even though it's like.
Capital Pathology is the private one, right? Because then you've got ACT Pathology too, which is like your rivals, I guess. Let's go and beat each other up.
It's just the public system or the private system.
You don't really compete because they just do their own thing. You compete exactly. more with like Laverty and stuff.
Yeah. I feel like there's enough work for at least two companies, and then there's the third and fourth. You're like, fuck off.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck why
you
guys.
You peasants.
Fucking peasants.
So that's good that you come on because I'm a big science fan, and it's good to have someone else from Tim. Because unfortunately, Tim, as much as I love Tim, he just doesn't know a lot about science.
I know about space science, not about Tim biology likes his science. Cool science.
Yeah.
Biology is cool.
Don't get me wrong. I love biology. I just don't know biology. You know what I mean? Because I never did any science classes in school.
All I did was science.
Yeah, it was weird. Because like I did them in like high school when it was compulsory, obviously. But as soon as I went to college and I just didn't do any science classes.
It's like maths for me.
Yeah.
As soon as I'm done year 12, I'm like, fuck maths.
I'm so bad at maths. Same. Like I get shit at work all the time because of how bad at maths I am.
I swear our generation is-
Seven times six.
Shit. 36.
It was 36.
It's 42.
God damn it.
Six times six is 36.
Yeah, I'm the same. Especially now, if I didn't have spell check, I'd be fucked. I wouldn't be able to do my job at all. Man, I have such bad spelling. Mm. And it's embarrassing when people are looking over your shoulder, especially your boss and stuff, and you're like writing out this. Because my whole job is to send out comms to the entire of my department. So it's just like, it's not a good skill to not be able to spell in.
I feel like it's worse when someone's watching over your shoulder. It sucks. As well. Oh like whenever God. I watch Lizzie do math, somehow one plus three equals one.
Yeah, you feel the pressure. I know that.
I just love that in like high school, all your teachers were like, you're not going to have a calculator in your pocket. Yeah. Bitch, you thought.
Yeah, I think that's made us worse. I have a fucking server in my pocket now.
Tim, I just realized you can hardly see Lizzie in the camera.
I think this is a benefit. This is what's really
Sam's face is in the way.
Should we move it?
Because he's got a fat head.
Should we move it mid-episode?
Yeah, you can move it.
I'm just going to do it.
Move it around.
You guys talk.
You're going to have to take those headsets off, my friend.
Oh, damn.
All right, this is just some muscles. Technical difficulty. You can't move it. Now you're going to take Sam out.
I'm okay with this.
That's right. We don't need to be in it. That's good. You can just see Zara's nose now. That's right.
Hey,
now we got the good people.
I just have to do this often.
Yeah, reaction shots.
But wow, that's crazy, dude.
So you guys been?
Like get two cameras.
We have my other phone normally, but because it's a four, like it didn't really work. Mm. We didn't know where to put the second camera, so we're like, fuck it.
This is a trial test.
It's a delicate process. And we often get it wrong.
We made our name Average Vice for a reason.
It's an average podcast.
We have a good out, you know?
I have to say, it's actually like, this is going to sound really mean. No. It's better than I expected.
It's better than we expect, to be honest.
Okay. Well, no, if you go back to like the start of season one, it was trash.
I'll be honest.
It still wasn't as trash.
I enjoyed it.
It wasn't as trash, but like it wasn't trash. We know what it sounds like now.
We had bad equipment. We didn't know what we were doing.
Quality of the content was above average.
Yeah. We've got better at not interrupting each other as well.
Nah, fuck so.
Yeah, but you see how you did that after I stopped.
It's true.
I think we used to play it at work just because we missed you so much.
Oh,
you didn't.
Yeah.
You know that stay hydrated that you had on your computer? It's still there. And every time I walk past it, I'm like, I miss
you. Yeah, I know. I'm pretty great.
Yeah.
It's always the worst when you have like work friends and then they move on. You're like, you're not allowed to leave. Yeah.
So
how dare you advance?
Sam knows this story, but someone from Capital got a job in my area. I'll tell you who it was later. But
off mic.
Yeah. And I was like, how did they get a job in the public? Like, who hired you?
There's a camera there.
And
I went like this.
But I didn't see them after like a month. But I was just like.
To be fair, I look around all the time at my job. I'm like, how did you get hired? But it's really easy. It's really easy to fake an interview though. Like.
You just have to talk good.
Yeah.
Which obviously I'm great
at. That was the best sentence. Yeah, you just have to talk good, you fucking idiots.
Brain to the mouth thing.
Yeah.
You know, when the words come out.
Yeah.
Zara says you had a master's degree.
Yeah, I do. I promise I'm smart.
Yeah, but I think there's a real big difference between being good at an interview and actually being good at work. Which is
correct.
Yeah, an unfortunate you can spend 30 aspect. Minutes.
I mean, I can talk shit. Yeah, I can talk shit for an hour.
And I think as well, I mean, if the interviewer likes you, they could just like how you presented yourself and you could get the job.
Yeah.
I think it's
definitely true. With my first scientist job, they were like, because obviously I had no experience, they were like, I can teach you how to be a good scientist. I can't teach you how to be a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon that's the only reason I got it.
I think it's one side of the aspect, though, because you can teach someone to be a good scientist, but someone can also fake that as well. So, like,
can they think... can they?
Well, they think you're a good person, and they can think they can teach you to be a good scientist, but sometimes you're just not a good person, and you're just acting.
Yeah.
In the 30-minute interview... No. People get away with so much shit.
Oh, yeah.
Not for even sure. For science, but for any job.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same.
When I was working for Hayes, I had to, like, it was part of my job to interview people. And you had so many interviews you had to do per week. And when I was up in Sydney, I was doing, like, recruiting for cleaners. Mm. And, oh, man, some of the clientele that I had to deal with was not above par. But I would see these people, because you'd walk in and I'm in my suit and stuff, and you can see the people that just need a job. They're like, I know it's clean, man, I don't care, just give me the fucking job. And then you can tell those ones are going to be hard workers because they need money, right? And then you can tell the ones that are just coming there because they don't want to lose their dole benefits. And there was a lot of those. And wow. There was this one kid that came, and he was just like in this like ripped t-shirt, and he was just like 19 or whatever. He had this like basically what my beard looks like now. And he came and sat down, and I was just like, oh, so what made you want to come in today? And he's just like, oh, look, Centrelink told me I had to come to interviews. And I was just like, have you ever cleaned before? He's just like, oh, I've cleaned my house. And I'm like, well, he's just like, something. And I'm like, I think we're going to end the interview here.
Yeah. I mean, if they're not willing to put in the effort.
I kind of want you to just give them the job, though, so they have to do it. Because, like, they obviously don't want to fuck you. You're going to be employed, bitch.
But then they won't show up. And then exactly. So it's just like, if I give them the job and then I'm getting fucked because, like, the client's just like, why isn't this guy showing up? And then I lose money. Mm. So fuck that. Fuck that person.
That's yeah, because I guess the recruiter has an investment in the person.
100%.
Yeah, that makes sense.
100%. So that's why, like, because, you know, when you're, like, younger, everyone, when you're leaving school, everyone's like, oh, contact recruitment agencies and they'll help you find work. But, and then they're like, you think in your mentality that, like, in your head, that their job is to help you find work. But no, once you're in the actual industry, their job is to make as much money off as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. And if you can't make the money, they don't care about you at all.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
Yeah.
Classic recruitment. Recruitment life.
Classic, like, any industry, though. Like, the world is so driven by, like, can I make a profit off of this?
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
It's a bit depressing.
It's human nature. It's just like, how do I make money from this? How can I make money from this tiny bit of paper?
But it's I don't like the way that it's looking at the world of, like, how can I exploit this for my benefit?
Mm. So
shouldn't you be trying to, like, make the world better just so it's better?
Nah, fuck them.
It's like with the green energy thing. It's like, oh, they're lying. Global warming's not a thing. But okay, if there's, like, more efficient energy ways out there, wouldn't you want to do it anyway?
Oh, yeah, look, you're preaching to the choir, man. Look, preaching to the fucking choir.
What I hate about that, it's the same argument that sort of meat eaters give to vegans, right? They're like, no, there's all these, like, meat's not that bad for you, or, like, all the excuses. And just like, look, it's bad to kill animals, but eat meat. But the only excuse
it's literally nature.
The only excuse that you can give to that is, I like to eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a completely okay excuse. But all the other bullshit, I was like, shut up. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same as that. It's just like, just admit it. Just admit that you'd like to have money and you don't want to lose money, but that's why you're not going into green energy.
Well, there's so many things like that.
That more.
Yeah, 100%.
There's so many things like that. It was like alcohol, tobacco industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's all terrible for you, but it makes so much money that's going to be a thing forever.
Especially the government. The government makes so much money off tobacco. Yeah. It's fucking insane. Like
50% tax as well.
It's the highest tax in almost the world, holy dude. Shit. We pay so much money for cigarettes.
That, like,
and
alcohol.
It costs. That's why you go to like on a cruise ship or something, and the duty free cigarettes, you can buy a carton for $20. Like, it costs like 4 cents to make a cigarette, and now it's getting up to like $50 a pack for 25 in Australia.
Are you mid show googling?
Producer Sam.
Do you want to pull that up for us, please, mate?
I'm getting there. Calm down.
Pressure's on. So now, you can't Google now. Because we're watching him.
Yeah, we need to learn to, you know, pad a little bit longer.
Here's something I want to talk about. Okay. And you guys probably have heard about this, and if you haven't, I'm shocked, but I'm like 100% sure you guys have. The other day, I was talking at work, and the science of bacteriophages came up. Yeah. And fuck, I love that shit. And I'm like, when is that shit going to be more, like, huge?
I gotta be honest, I don't know that much about it.
Yeah, what is that? explain it to
this
the people.
This is
the
whole setup for Zar.
All right. So you guys know bacteria, right?
I've
you guys know
it.
What that is?
I've heard
Do you know
it,
what that is, yeah, Sam?
I've seen it occasionally.
Do you know what that is, Lizzie?
I've never heard of it.
Okay. I know it's around.
Makes up 60%
of Do you know what viruses are? Do you know what viruses are?
Yeah, what's
so
a virus?
Bacteriophages are basically viruses that kill bacteria.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah.
In the middle of a pandemic, do you know what viruses?
So the way that we traditionally have dealt with bacteria is through antibiotics. Obviously, penicillin was like the first famous one. And the thing with antibiotics is like bacteria, because they evolve so rapidly, there will be a 0.01% of the bacteria that evolve that will
become
naturally
a super germ.
It'll build a resistance because that's evolution. Mm. Bacteria will, there'll be a mutation that can overcome this this antibiotic, and therefore you take antibiotics, but that strain of the bacteria that's resistant now lives on.
But the issue with that is that so many people don't take their full course of antibiotics. They take it till they don't have symptoms anymore. Mm. And then they're like, cool, I'm better. And then that allows the resistant bacteria to grow again. And so then those, and then like they spread it, and then those antibiotics don't work anymore.
Don't worry. Patients, humans people are dumb. People are dumb. But antibiotics can only work to a point. Because bacteria will evolve so rapidly, be faster than we can create antibiotics that can treat it. So then you've got superbugs. You guys know about superbugs, obviously. Yeah. It's like
super AIDS.
So basically bacteria that can't be treated with antibiotics because they're just resistant to everything. So bacteriophages are viruses that specifically their only role is to infect bacteria and replicate and then explode out of the bacteria. Now, the good thing about phages is because viruses also mutate. So if a bacteria builds a resistance, then if a virus that infects that specific strain can't do it anymore, then it will also mutate eventually until there is a strain of that virus that can then infect the resistant bacteria. And it's like,
but what if it then mutates and then kills the host? Kills you. You're just dead after that.
Well, so the thing is, bacteriophages can be artificially crafted. Mm. So viruses are very different from bacteria in that viruses only have like a very specific function. Like, you know, like there's only viruses that can do one thing. And then if they're not doing that one thing, they're literally just a dormant particle. They're just, I don't know if you even call it a particle, but like.
Yeah, because they're technically not alive.
So,
well, they can't replicate on their own. So
yeah. So if you have a bacteriophage in you and no more of the bacteria that it infects, then it no longer is active and it just floats dormant.
I mean, unless it mutates. Like you get strong I Am Legend vibes out of it.
Yeah, as soon as you said that, I'm just like, I'm pretty sure that's the entire plot to I Am
Vampires,
Legend.
Vampires, that's all I'm thinking right now.
But that's what I mean.
Cured cancer, boom.
That's what I mean. Naturally occurring viruses, it could be potential, but the way that the bacteriophages are, from what I've read, is that if there is a chance, minuscule.
Yeah, definitely an avenue of research. I don't know how far it's gotten, but it's definitely pretty cool.
I just thought it was cool, and I just thought, like, I mean, that seems to be the way to go. If like antibiotics are getting less and less effective, then I think this is something that should be more law. Yeah.
Or we could harness the superbug and then take over the universe.
Harness the superbug.
I think.
Don't squawk at that, all right? You're going to be a peasant when I take over the world.
Tell us your plan to harness the superbug,
yeah,
Tim.
You wish, I'll take. Yeah. Then, yeah.
Anyway, rant over about bacteriophages.
Bacteriophages.
Scares me.
Having more technical issues.
No. Just making sure.
But I think Australia is never really going to follow up that avenue of research, because Australia's like whole scientific background and the way university funds their research is only looking for how can I make money off this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's most. Isn't that the entire community?
I feel like such a good way to make money if Australia was the
Australian
first
government
to break it out.
Won't see any like profit in that, so they won't be the first people that do it. They'll let some European universities, which are much more about. Oh,
you know, future and life, and not about
like
themselves.
Sweden or Germany or one of these.
Germany, especially, they're a lot more about okay with saying, "Oh, this research might be a no, but at least we'll know it's a no." Whereas Australia's like, if it's no, we wasted money.
And that's the real. I feel like that's real science. Yeah. It's just like ones that are just like, we're doing this for complete discovery purposes.
We always want to
learn things.
Like Sweden,
that's why like astrophysicists and stuff fascinate me, because their job is to just look at space and just see what happens.
Have you seen the new shit from like the James Webb?
Dude, yes.
Every time I look at something like that, and it just keeps zooming into like black.
Need
and
to make
then
sure
it,
I was on camera for a bit, you know.
It like keeps zooming into what you think is black, and then there's just like more stars. I'm just like, what the fuck?
Dude, when they brought out the Hubble, because when the Hubble telescope got launched, and then they were just looking in this black spot, they're like, let's just see what happens. And then, yeah, the exact same thing happened. And then it's just nothing but galaxies. And so then you're just wild. Like, you're like, what the fuck? Like, you can't even comprehend the size of that. So I haven't, like, what they've done with the James Webb telescope, it fucking blows my mind. It's like the biggest telescope. Have you seen it? Do you know what it is? So they basically built this telescope to just like float in space. It's like the Hubble, but way bigger.
And it's got way better technology.
And further out technology. As well.
Yeah, and it just has this like, they have to basically build it here and then they'll have to assemble it in space because it's so big.
And we've only just started getting like the first photos of it back because like, yeah, they're huge files obviously being transmitted from space.
Mm. Dude, it's if we get a, cool. Did you, wow. When we got the first image of a black hole and it was just like this weird little fucking grainy image, I can't wait to get another one.
Mm.
Once they get a high definition image of a black hole, I'm like, I'm going to be so happy.
Black holes freak me out.
Dude, black holes are fascinating. Black holes fascinating.
Have you guys watched the YouTube channel? It's like Cursed Cigar.
Yeah.
That is there's a one on black holes, and it was like, what would happen if a black hole was in your pocket? You watched that episode?
Yeah. I have a feeling it's not going to end well.
No, oh, definitely not. Definitely not. But he was saying that because we still don't understand fully black holes, that you couldn't really give a definitive answer. He's like, there were probably two possibilities, and he like mentions how it's like, either you get like crushed under mass and pressure, or you would like die from expansion and
I think it's spaghettification.
Yeah. And I was just like, man, it's crazy that even scientists couldn't answer that. They'd be like, we don't actually know what would happen.
Well, do you know what's even more exciting than black holes? Have you heard of
white holes? I knew he was going to say that.
We all saw that coming.
Jinx soda.
Dude, white holes are crazy.
Mm.
White holes are crazy.
Mm.
But even just like, I like how, because when you look at the entire sort of infrastructure of space and how it sort of governs itself, black holes seem to be just that their purpose is to spread matter out, because a lot of the matter that goes over the event horizon can't actually get in because there's so much pressure. So then it just like spews matter out in like these two big fucking prongs. So like their entire job is to just send fucking all these different elements into the world to create more fucking planets, more stars. Fucking awesome.
And also, space. Like, I guess they keep the galaxies together because there's a super massive black hole in every galaxy.
That, that still blows my mind. Thinking about that hurts me.
Have you ever seen the movie Event Horizon?
Yeah.
I watched it when I was way too fucking young to be watching it, and I'm terrified.
Mm.
Is that about when this ship comes out of the black hole or something and it's just like demonic?
Yeah, and they like can't get any signals from it.
And so the other side is like the hell. It's like hell,
Oh my God. And I don't want to spoil it, but what the fuck?
Yeah. Pretty sure everyone dies. For sure.
But you don't know. You don't know if they're actually dead. That's the thing.
Okay. Well, do you want to do a topic? Do you want to pull
up? Oh, yeah, sure. Actually, we should do the one.
Toxic femininity.
Yeah, so we didn't want to do this with just guys on.
We needed a female's input. Yeah,
so I'm just your token female.
You're the spokesperson of toxic femininity.
We can give like our sort of
male view,
our views on it, and you can like agree, disagree, or tell us what you think, and then give your view. I'll try not to knock that over.
Slap the mic.
Yeah.
So, Tim, why don't you start off?
Okay. Yeah, throw me in the deep end.
Tim, go on.
I'll set the bar, shall I?
Yeah.
All right. So I suppose what is toxic? We'll start with what is toxic femininity.
Please define.
It's the same thing as toxic masculinity, right? It's just like the things that are inherent in the behavior of girls or females or something like that that are not good traits. And I will not bring up any.
Perfect. What are you talking about?
I've got an example, right?
God.
I'm trying to remember because I heard it on a YouTube video, some guy discussing it, and I'm trying to remember exactly what he said, but it was something like, if, you know, there's like, do you know the double standards of like, of going on like a date, for instance, and then there's obviously a lot of girls that like expect the guy to pay.
Yep.
And like, that it's not so much that I have a problem with, but then it's like, like expecting the guy to pay, but then not like having sex with him that night or something like that. Like they can expect a certain amount of chivalry, but then they don't have to do anything back.
I think that's kind of fucked up because that's like
I'm not exactly that.
Yeah. Because I pay for dinner and I have to suck my dick. Yeah,
like. No. Yeah, that's that was not a what
bad
I mean.
Example.
That's not what I mean. I mean it's like if they expect you to behave a certain way, but then if a guy expects them to behave a certain way, they're like a toxic man.
I would say girls don't seem to think that they're making the guy pay is any problem.
I would say I fucked it up, but yeah.
I'd put it like this. Like, females want to be treated like they still want the chivalry reactions from a 1920s male, but they want the respect and their own independence from a 2020 point of view, 2022 point of view, right? You know what I mean? So they're like, we want our independence. We want to be able to do our own thing, but then we also still want you to treat me like queen, treat like open doors for me. You know, like it's like that. That's just a stereotype.
Respect, though?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you do back? Like, what respect do you give back?
I just give respect. I don't know.
It's just like,
why do I have to put out as a way of being respected?
Yeah. No, no, no. I want to get putting out completely off this conversation. Because that's a dangerous topic.
If we're going to talk about it, I guess that like women provide emotional support to guys. Like a lot, this ties into toxic masculinity. Like a lot of guys don't know how to be emotional. They don't know how to express it. And so then like, I guess that's sort of a trade-off that a lot of women see in relationships is that, yeah, sure, you might pay for dinner, but I like encourage you and I tell you not to be a dick and shit.
But you think guys don't encourage you and tell you not to be a dick? like what do you mean? You think that's a one-way thing?
I'm kind of on Lizzie's side. Like, I feel like toxic femininity is the sort of expectation of people asking, like you expecting other people to do more or
treated.
But I feel like equality is what we're all after. Mm-hmm. Like,
I guess like personally, I don't really know how to talk about this because I don't feel like that. Like, if I go out on a date with a guy, like. Usually it's not for dinner because it's so awkward if you're on a dinner date, you just don't get along.
You don't go on a first date dinner date.
Oh my God, I hate that. So like you go out for a beer or whatever, he might get the first beer, but then I'll get the second.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that's the right mentality of the day,
right? Because I hate it when guys want to pay for me all the time. I'm like, I have money. I can pay for myself.
But the thing is, none of us, well, I don't believe any of us are toxic people, but there is a lot of toxic people. And I think that's where the toxic masculinity and toxic femininity comes from.
We're talking
these people with toxic traits like that.
I guess I think of toxic femininity as more like coming from other women, like the beauty standards and like the slut shaming and shit like that. Yeah.
Body shaming.
Here's another
That's what girls really mean to each other.
Here's another example is I have a mate and his ex is like friends with, so my ex and his ex are sort of friends with a group, right? And me and the ex don't, we're fine. But him and his ex, she's like really vicious about
the breakup.
And now he's like dating a new girl. And now she's trying to like get all of her friends and even his friends to turn against him.
I hate that. Like, yeah, like, super toxic. Like, it's so, a, that's super it's okay toxic. I think
that's just femininity. She even asked his sister to stop talking to him. And she was like, are you fucked in the head?
Are you an insane person?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Well, yeah. I suppose I just want to sort of revert back to the paying and stuff. It's just like, this is my, because I was raised by just females, right? And my mum always said, as a gentleman, it's your job to pay for the first date, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, my viewpoint of that has sort of changed. It's like, I think whoever invites the person on the 100%. Date should pay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because it's like, I want to take you out, I should pay.
Yeah.
But then if a girl asks me out on a date and then expects me to pay, I'd be like, well, what the fuck?
Well, then I guess
you just didn't want to pay for food today.
But it's like a cheap way to find out this person's not for you.
Well, exactly. Values don't if align. That happened, like, I wouldn't.
Fundamental thing.
Like, if that happened, I wouldn't have a second date.
100%. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it also, if I go on a first date and if they don't even like offer to pay, like because I'm always gonna pay, right? But then if they don't do the check dance, if they're like,
I never offer to do that because I feel so fucking.
When they're just sitting there, just like. Yeah, when the check comes around, they're like, oh man, that's a nice butterfly. And they're just not even going to, they're expecting me to pay.
It's when you just get up and leave.
Well, I'll pay, but I just won't see him again.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't like, no, like for me personally, it's not an expectation for someone to pay, but if they look like they're going to, I'm not going to
stop
like, oh no, I'll do it. Cause then I feel like that's performative. And then I'm just trying to be like, no, I'll pay. But like you actually pay.
Also,
you know, like, I just hate that. I'll just get the next thing. Like if we go out for dessert, I'll buy dessert. Like
sometimes it's a 50-50 thing too. So like, it depends on what girl you go out with, but like sometimes they get really offended if you offer to pay. Cause they're like, no, I'm like my own woman. I can pay for myself. So it's just like, too. It's like a 50-50. So you sometimes they want you to pay and they expect you to pay, but sometimes it's rude if you offer to pay. So it's just like, what do I do here? Like, what's the correct answer? answer.
I guess that like there just needs to be dialogue about it.
Yeah.
Like, we're adults.
Just
communicate.
Yeah.
People like suck at communicating.
We all need to learn to be better.
Actually, tell me what you were going to say.
I was just going to say, if they're getting upset at you for asking, like saying, I'll pay, I feel like that's the first step of saying like, oh, I'm not good at communicating. Cause like you need to have that dialogue. You need to be like, oh, actually no, I'll pay. And then you have the discussion exactly. about who's going to pay. I feel like that's part of equality right there. Just having that discussion rather than just getting upset at people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Or just not saying anything. Yeah, I agree.
Staring at me.
I think as well, cause I'm all for equality. I'm all for girls going for what they want, getting good jobs, being strong.
What you want.
I love that. I think if you are proud of yourself as a woman, fuck yeah, dude.
Woman power.
What I hate is when, obviously because I feel like a lot of girls have felt oppressed by males their whole life, that when they do start feeling strong, then they try to like kind of bring revenge
males down a peg.
Like I feel like there's feminist movements, which is more about like hate and more like
but pushing you can fuck say that men, with sort of thing. Any sort of ideology or movement.
Yeah. Oh, I don't disagree, but we're talking about femininity.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's not like an issue with femininity. I think it's an issue
extremists.
With humanity.
Yeah, there's extremists like, in every no aspect of
what
life.
It is,
I agree.
There's extreme toxic masculinity that
so
hate women.
If we pull it back for what I'm saying again. I feel like it doesn't come down to, say, femininity so much. It's just toxic people.
Toxic people, yeah.
100%.
It's an us
versus
humanity.
It's an us versus them sort of dynamic going on.
Yeah.
Because like, everyone views themselves as part of a group. They're like, oh, I don't like that group. I'm part of this group. I'm going to put that group down to my group.
Like anti-vaxxers.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this is dangerous territory.
Yeah,
I feel like
yeah,
we're
yeah,
very
yeah.
angry very
we're going to lose a lot of our audience. In a
well, I've got a funny story when it sort of comes into ties with this. Like when I was up in Sydney, I lived with my friend who's openly gay, and she was just newly openly gay. So she was openly gay for about a year and a half at this point. So she's been like just experiencing life and just going heaps of dates with heaps of girls, right?
Love that for her.
Same. Fuck yeah. But because like when I went up there, like she was my main friend. So like her group became my friendship group. So I was just friends with just a lot of gay people. Makes sense. But like, because they were my only friends, it means to say I was never really around a lot of straight people. Like there was never really experiences for me to like, you know, flirt with people in the friendship group because they were all gay. And it's just like you in your head, you know, so you know when that happens, you're just like, all right, you just turn it off and they become like a boy to you. You know what I mean? You're just like, you're not going to flirt with these people.
I'll flirt with a brick wall.
Yeah. Honestly, I'll flirt with anything. I'll flirt with Zara.
I mean,
right
I'll flirt with them, but you just like, you don't expect.
Go on.
But anyway, so he would always go to all these big events in Sydney. And they were usually just gay events, like LGBTQTZ3 events. And I would always come because I'm like, fuck it. I like going to places. And usually there's a mix between lesbians and gays. So at least there's boy girls there. I went to one event and I was the only boy in about 150 people. Like it was the most uncomfortable I've ever been because like I'm just walking around and just being there. Everyone's just like, why the fuck is it? The fuck is he doing?
I mean, most people do that anyway when they walk in the rooms.
Please. Lizzie, please. But like it was one of those things and I'm pretty like I can make friends with anyone. So I was just going around making friends with people, but like he brought her other friend there and they had VIP tickets to go meet the DJ, right? So there was a good 45 minutes where they're like, you're gonna be alone. So I was like, all right, I'll fucking deal with it. So they all left and I was just like walking around and I'm just getting stares from people and people are asking me, they're like, why are you here? Are you gay? And
really?
I'm like, well, it's just like, it is a lesbian event. Mm-hmm. They don't come there expecting to see straight guys.
I just
guys,
can't
so.
Imagine someone being like, why are you here? Like,
well, that's strange. Because that's what I said. She's just like, she was kept like giving me like warning. She's just like, I don't want you to go up and just talk to everyone. Cause like there's lesbians here that just, they just don't like guys and they will just be mean to you because you're a guy. And I was just like, yeah, I'll deal with them. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. So she left and then I walk around and I'm just like chilling by myself, having drinks. And from like the across the room, I see another guy and I run like a beeline to him. I beeline straight to him and I'm just like, are you gay? And he's just like, he's like, the girl's next to him. She's like, no, he's my boyfriend. I'm like, and I hug him. I'm like, thank you. he's like, why? He's just like, dude.
You know what? Even you telling that story, I was picturing myself in that situation being like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I literally was just like, dude, I'm not gonna lie, we're the only guards in this entire place. He's just like, yeah, I'm so happy you're here. And then we hung out the whole entire night. And then there was a third guy that we found on the dance floor, and then it was just the trio, because we were just the three guys in this 150
all these girls. Lesbians just like, yeah. Fuming.
No, but I won them over near the end.
He's got some pretty amazing dance moves, yeah. Going on.
All right. I've ever seen you dance.
Mate, you've seen my butt though, and you know I can twerk. So.
All right, well, that topic I feel like can spark some
controversy.
Some, yeah, controversy. So Sam, why don't you pick? Oh. You don't have to look at any.
So the way the bucket works, this season we wanted to be a little bit more loosey goosey with things. So we got people to write down a sentence, word, or a question, and just bring it out and go spontaneous from there. So do you want to read that out?
I mean, we've got PlayStation versus N64. Like, oh, this is an easy answer. I feel like this is, why is this in here?
N64.
See, the thing is, like, N64 is good for nostalgic reasons, right? And I'll get down on N64 any day of the week.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if we're talking about full like comparison, I have to go PlayStation.
Yeah, I mean, which one's still around?
Yeah.
Well, I had a deficient childhood and I've actually never played N64, but I own a PlayStation.
So. Yeah, so are you, PlayStation wins automatically.
PlayStation is deficient? Or? No, I'm
saying see, the difference there. Here is that Nintendo 64 didn't need a second one. PlayStation needed four more to be good.
Well, I mean, the N64 turned into the GameCube, basically.
No, it's a different console. It is very different
console. Well, I mean, because like when you're looking at it, that's like hardcore retro gaming, because that's still when it's cartridges. Mm-hmm. So like it went from cartridges to disc. That's why they had to completely redesign it, mm-hmm. which is why. But then the GameCube had those really retarded mini discs. Mm. You're like, what the fuck? Why?
Yeah, they were.
Like,
why?
They went down some weird paths. They were just like trying to be different.
Dude, really tiny. And don't even get me started on the GameCube controller. You're like, what is that fucking piece of shit design?
I mean,
is that the GameCube one?
No, that's the 64 one. That one's also fucking retarded.
Yeah, just having a three hands going on here.
I was like, and when I picked that up, I was like, what were they fucking?
And the joystick that would just always fall to one side after you used it too much, it just went like.
And then you'd start playing. I was playing Donkey Kong once, and then like Donkey Kong would just start walking to the wall like this.
Yeah. And you'd just be walking one side, dude. I'm definitely a 64 fan.
I love retro games though. I could go back and play retro games all day long, but I don't really need the consoles anymore because technology's gotten so good. I can just make emulators and most of them work, especially 64 emulators and stuff.
So it's so well done now.
It's just like the only reason to buy a 64 is to, just for nostalgic collection purposes.
Surely it's just a flex. Like, oh, I've got a
64. Dude. So did you not play any video games growing up?
I had a PlayStation.
Yeah. PlayStation 1 or 2?
Well, we had a 1, a 2. I've had all of them.
Yeah.
But I didn't really play it. It was more for my brother.
Yeah.
And so what did you
do? I think it's more of a boy thing, to be honest.
I don't know.
I feel like it's a little toxic masculinity going on.
Why do you think it's toxic? I think it's stereotype.
You just draw things?
Yeah, and paint. And
See, that actually sounds productive.
So I did both. But like, when I was a kid, I could sit down for like a good 6 hours and just play like a PS2 game, right? Like an adventure game.
Tim? You interrupted Lizzie's story. She was telling us what she was doing. You said you were going to talk less this episode. I'm trying to get Lizzie to talk.
Toxic masculinity and think that they're more.
Tim said it's toxic. I just like talking.
Tim said before the ep, he's like, oh, I need to like let them speak more. Yeah. It's all right. Sorry, buddy. I was trying to.
Fuck you. Go on, Lizzie. Go ahead,
continue. Sorry.
I don't remember what I was saying.
Something about art.
Oh, yeah. What I used to do when I was a kid. I used to read a lot. I don't know. Yeah, I think I just. Fucking nerd. Or like hang out with friends.
See, the story was over, Zara.
It wasn't.
Shit.
I didn't know she was going to say
it was
friend.
Over when you interrupted me, well, Tim.
Maybe I just know how conversations work and I could feel it. I could feel that you were about to come down.
What did you used to do with your friends?
I honestly don't know. You know what we actually used to do? We used to go to Stocklands, which was like, I grew up in this shitty little coastal town where there was nothing. We used to go to Stocklands, which was like our like mall, and it was just like five shops and we'd just hang out.
Just hang out.
Which shop should we go to? Let's roll the dice. Which shop today? Oh, 6. I guess we go home.
I don't think I ever really hung out at like the mall. Like it was such an American thing to hang out at the mall.
We did like
what did we do when we were younger? I remember riding
played
my bike
Nintendo 64.
Yeah, we played a lot of video games. Like I remember when we finished school, I would finish school at 3 o'clock and then you'd like go and ride your bike to your friend's house and you'd sit there and just play video games. We played a lot of like GTA San Andreas back in the day.
Mm.
My brother loved that game.
Yeah, that game was so fun.
I still remember some of my classmates trying to convince me to leave class early and just head back to their place and have a quick sesh of GTA Andreas.
Do you remember the first time you ever had your own LAN? Did you ever have a LAN game, like where you bought all PCs and stuff?
No.
Dude.
We were all too lame for that.
Back in the day, we used to have some pretty crazy LANs. Because like we all randomly had like our own computer. So you'll just bring it over and you'll just connect it all
like
together.
A whole PC.
See,
that's why we thought it was too much effort.
It's a lot of effort. Everyone brought, but we would have like six of us there. And we'd all just sit there and we'll just play games.
Why would you not just split screen something?
Because it was better to do it in all together. Because then you're all just laughing.
You have four people playing on a screen this big.
Exactly. And then you're all just sitting there, you're like, fuck, you can't. You know? I mean, you can still get the same effect by doing it online now, which basically what everyone does now. But yeah, a good LAN is not the same. It's like a good sleepover,
you
know?
You can't punch the person when you're like really mad at them.
Yeah. Or the old school Halo days on split screen.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Foster.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
It's like 2 hours.
It's the beer.
Is that where the beer comes from?
Oh, I used to. So when I was a kid, we used to go camping heaps. And I just remember this. We went to this campground and yeah, like you'd be like, oh, where are you from? And I was like, oh, I'm from Foster. And they're like, you're from a Foster family? No, I'm not. I wish I was.
You just be like, yes.
Dude, yeah, I'll just milk that.
Oh my God, it was so annoying.
And obviously, you're from Melbourne originally. Ooh. Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
What suburb?
Why'd you come to Canberra?
Well, when your partner gets a government job, it's a bit hard to say no.
It's usually the case. It's just like, why'd you come to Canberra?
Public
like,
service.
Fucking come where the money is, dude. That's why like it's good to get a job here and then go somewhere else. Yeah.
I mean, I think it was easier to get a job in Canberra, like in actuality, because I was studying science for 4 years and I'd worked part-time at a work, like a kind of like this... like chemical company, and I was like enjoying it, but it wasn't great. And I came
Whose
to Canberra.
Chemical company was it?
Oh, well, they're not going to talk about who may have owned the chemical
Heisenberg's
company.
Chemicals.
It was his wife's mother's chemical company. How'd you get the job, Sam?
He slept with his wife's mother.
Slept with the boss.
You just had to bring this up, didn't you?
Slept with the boss.
The point of the story is, I moved to Canberra within 3 days. I had already started working at a place I loved. So
yeah,
Canberra was great, and they offered more money than where I was working in.
I feel Canberra's like. Made up of people that stay here is usually the people that aren't born here.
Yeah.
It's usually the people that are born here.
And then there's me.
And then they leave. Yeah.
Then well, this is the biggest place I've ever lived because I'm like from a small town. So I'm like, Canberra's great. And Sam's like, Canberra's tiny. Yeah. I'm like, no, it's not.
So the same thing happened because I worked with a guy named Jim and he was from Griffith. And he was saying, he's just like, yeah, when I came, like he went to uni in Wagga. And I'm just like, when he said that to me, he's like, dude, Wagga was lit, dude. And I was just like, did you just fucking say that sentence? And then he came to Canberra and it was like this big, big town. And I was just like, bro, this fucking town is
small. I like Canberra. I was just in Melbourne the other week. And as much as I love it, obviously I'm a big AFL fan. So I go there and I'm like, yeah, I feel the culture. And I go to the G and have a, but then anytime we were like out and about, I was like, why is there people fucking everywhere all the time? Can you all go fucking home? Can you stop getting in my way? Dude. Can these cars just stop? And I was just like, okay, let's just go home. I'm getting so stressed out.
That's one of the things, like coming from Melbourne and coming to Canberra, the lack of people, the lack of traffic especially is just amazing. I remember as a kid leaving school, like high school, and you'd have teachers helping you onto the tram, just pushing you in because you'd have like 150 students trying to get on one fucking tiny tram.
Fuck that.
Wow.
And I would have teachers pushing my backpack, just trying to shove me into the
I love.
Get out of here.
I love that Canberra drivers still complain about the traffic.
I know.
Like how far things away. And it's just like, bro, you can get anywhere in Canberra.
I love the people
minutes.
That live in Australia complain about things. Like, oh, we live in such a shitty country.
To be fair.
Where there's no conflict and no war and all this shit.
Like when people are like, oh, everything's so far away. Like in Australia, it is.
Well, but in Canberra. In Canberra,
everything's close in Canberra. Yeah, and because the roads are so big, it's just like, it's not that hard. Like you can get, like the fact that everyone complains about going to Tuggeranong and it's literally a 30-minute drive away. You know, it's just like that mentality.
I'd rather complain about Tuggeranong being far away than, oh shit, we got to flee the country. We're getting bombed.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all relative.
Don't bring perspective.
It's all relative.
Sorry.
I feel like this is really Hitler right here. Cause you know, when you win an argument, when you compare it to Hitler,
yeah,
have you not heard that before? If you talk about an argument on the internet, as soon as someone says, oh, you're just like Hitler, that's them losing the argument.
Oh my God.
I can't believe none of you have heard that before.
Shut up.
I've just never been compared to Hitler before, I guess. What are you talking about on the internet?
Not to your face.
Now that I look at you, though, you do look at
me. I'm way cuter.
I was trying to find crickets, but
I was pretty happy
with that sound effect, to be honest. That sound effect worked. All right, well, we've got 15 minutes left. Do we want to do another topic?
Or we can. Yeah, all right. Lizzie, you pick one.
Okay.
You guys have to write something after this too.
Western medicine versus alternative Eastern medicine.
Oh, this is a great topic.
Great topic, guys.
Can I start it off?
You absolutely cannot.
Have you guys ever heard of black salve?
Oh, I literally was talking about it last week with a mate at work.
What is it?
It's fucked.
It's an alternate, and I say it with air quotes, cancer treatment. Just literally Google it after this. It's basically it's a black cream, I guess, and that you put it on your tumor and it cures your cancer, except it doesn't.
As soon as you said put it on your tumor, I was like, this is a bad idea.
So something that is really peddled towards is breast cancer.
Yeah.
And so many women, or so many people just in general that believe in this shit have died because they're like, oh yeah. And then obviously as the tumor gets worse, it can do something called fungating, which is where it becomes necrotic and you actually see it break through the skin and it's disgusting. It smells, it's awful.
It's like corrosive.
And so
they're like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah. And so, when you have that fungating tumor, they get in touch with the company, and then the company, which are full of scumbags, is just that's the black salve working, it's killing the cancer.
Sounds like an
and
MLA.
Then these people just fucking die because they didn't do chemo, they didn't do radiotherapy, they just relied on this bullshit.
Yeah.
It makes me so mad.
It makes me mad at the same time, but I mean, how stupid can you be? You know,
well,
it's just if you see it not working, physically it's not working.
But
it's
with cancer,
come on.
When you feel like you have no hope and someone tells you this is going to work, you're going to believe them.
But you would try every method.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But the fact that you would choose one method and not do chemo.
Well, I think that these people are the kinds that already don't trust modern medicine. Yeah. They're already the anti-vaxxers and the...
Yeah. Darwinism at its finest.
Well, I feel that's an unfair comparison though, because you're going to go trust people you think are the authority, and these people have been brought up or they've been parts of groups.
They've definitely been scammed, that's for sure.
Who think these are the authority and they're being told this is going to cure you. They're not the problem. That's blaming the victim. I feel like it's definitely the companies.
No,
it's scumbags.
Funny,
100%.
You're definitely right. I'm definitely blaming the victim a little bit.
So yeah, I was talking about this with a mate at work. And there was a case that was on the news, I think, of a lady who had cancer, and she started seeing this doctor who wasn't actually a doctor. Mm-hmm. And he was also a businessman, and also apparently a bunch of things, right? And then he was claiming black salve. And even after she, because she rubbed it on her belly, she had cancer in her belly. Even after she rubbed it on and her skin basically got corroded away, he's still no, it's black salve's good. And was just, I was just disgusting. Man, those people, they deserve
they
to fucking
to
die.
Scammers are literally the scum of the earth, I think. Mm. It's just because you're taking advantage of people that are already in dire situations.
Yeah, at the lowest.
The lowest and most accepted, susceptible to those things. It's just because it's hard. When it's not life-threatening, it's a little bit easier to blame the victim. It's just man, how could you be so silly to send them money? But at the same time, I've been so close to getting scammed from these people.
They're just desperate.
And sometimes they're so convincing too. It's just there was one when I started a new job, right? And I got a new email address. And I was emailing my boss in the morning. He already emailed me. And then the next 20 minutes, I got another email from my boss. It said it was his name. From this company. He's just hey man, can you we're doing a birthday thing for Think, can you pick me up some gift cards on the way to work? And I was just because he just emailed me, I fell for it. I was just oh yeah, sure, no worries. And I was just but I was always so skeptical because I was just man, this is how scams happen. I know when people ask me to go get Woolworths gift cards, it's not a good idea. But so I was it got to the point where I was just I was emailing back and forth, and he was just I'll reimburse you once you get to work, no worries. And I got into Woolworths. It was almost 8 o'clock, and I was in Woolworths, and I was just this doesn't feel right. So I called my other boss. I was just hey, I feel dumb, but can you just check to see if I'm supposed to get these fucking gift cards? He's like, all right. Calls him back. He's like, yeah, no, that's a scam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, I was so close to getting fucked by him. Makes me sad.
Can I also just say on this topic, sorry,
no, you're
that right. I do believe in some Eastern medicine. When I was in uni, I went to Sri Lanka as part of one of the units I did, and we studied their Ayurvedic medicine. And that is rooted in science, and a lot of the modern medicine that we have today actually comes from that. So it's not all bad. It's just the ones that are bad, really bad.
I think there's a difference between Eastern medicine and holistic medicine.
Yeah.
I don't know, Chinese medicine is considered Eastern medicine, and it's using pangolin dust to get a heart on. So
what I wanted to say about this is, and this is the sad thing, obviously we've done science at uni. When you do a science degree at uni, you learn how to interpret proper information. You learn how to interpret references.
I think you just taught critical thinking.
Yeah. So you can, if you see a bit of information online, you go, all right, well, how do I know that's correct? And when you do science, you go, well, I'm not going to believe that until I research, look at references, see how they came to that conclusion, look at their design, their methodology, blah, blah, blah. And unfortunately, a lot of people have no idea how to do that.
Yeah, I don't. I'm surprised that critical thinking isn't just taught in school.
Like, yeah,
just like check your source. Like if I read something on the internet and I'm like, oh, I don't know about that, I'll independently Google.
Yeah,
a lot of people like just take Facebook and stuff for fact now.
Oh my god,
it's
my dad is the worst.
It's just that's what people YouTube. Are on all the time.
Yeah,
it's just like it makes sense to sort of, but you have to understand that it's not governed. You know what I mean?
That's
what I love about science is it's like no matter what, as soon as you find a theory or something, the first thing you do is try to disprove it. It's just like, I want to make sure, let's see if I can disprove this. Because if you can't disprove it.
Confirmation bias is such a thing.
Well, exactly. Especially if it's your theory, you want it to work.
Yeah, like
so if you're the one that's coming in saying, I'm going to try to disprove this, you're going to be the one that's trying the hardest to disprove it, right?
Because
You don't want to be like an idiot.
On the topic of like Western medicine versus like alternative Eastern medicine, I feel like the whole concept in its like core is also a little bit biased because if the medicine works, it's going to be like 300, 400, 500 years old, and it's going to be implemented in our current medicine. So most of the medicine that works, we call Western medicine, but probably came from everywhere.
Yeah, if it worked, like, it wouldn't be called
old. I don't know if Eastern and Western is the real kind of the best words for it.
Yeah.
I guess you could be like
holistic like and mainstream.
Mainstream medicine or alternative medicine, I think is a better way of describing it. Because like,
it's a bit racist. Yeah. That's a bit of racist phrasing.
If alternate medicine worked, it would just be called medicine.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
that's my point.
Alternate medicine is, I mean, if it's called medicine, it has to do something, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I could give you a pile of dirt and be like, hey, this is medicine.
Hey, and according to, what's the word? One way if you believe it's going to work.
Placebo effect.
The placebo effect. It actually works. Yeah, it's like crazy. 30%. It's an actual number.
The placebo effect is so interesting because there was a study.
The brain
done.
Is fucked.
For all our viewers that don't know science, can you please explain the placebo effect to our audience?
So the placebo effect is when they give you like a substance that looks exactly the same as what they're testing and they tell you it is what it's testing. So they're seeing like
sugar pill.
Mind over matter.
So that's literally what they're testing. And it's so interesting because there's been studies done that have shown that even when the person knows they're taking the placebo, they can still have the effect that they're looking
for. It's like if you trick a 14-year-old and give them an alcoholic beer, but then they'll start acting drunk because they think they're drunk. And it's so fucked. And then you tell them later on, you're like, oh, by the way, you haven't had any alcohol at all. And they're like, and they're completely fine again.
Or it's like a lot of antidepressants, like obviously with double-blind studies where there is a placebo in play, the people find out that they're on the placebo, they keep taking it. But I think it's like just the act of them thinking they're helping themselves actually.
Habit.
Yeah, well, yeah, and like they're taking steps to try to treat their depression. So they're like, cool, I feel better.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's crazy, especially with things like depression too, because we don't really understand what is really happening in the brain when it happens. You have more chemicals or less chemicals, you know what I mean? But it's just like the fact that a placebo can work with depression, it sort of proves that depression is overcome by your own brain anyway.
Mm, sometimes.
Well, yeah, obviously there are chemical imbalances, but if a placebo works, then I mean.
Well, a placebo can work on other things too. Like it can work on cancer. Like it's like not always going to work, but it helps.
Can work on cancer and stuff
too.
It can help with
your, like the belief in yourself helps your immune system. Like it's been shown in
That's
studies.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like with hypertension, taking the placebo, your blood pressure actually goes down because you're more relaxed, I guess.
Why so? I suppose if you're keen and you want to save yourself, because you need to want to survive, I suppose. Because you know when someone has a coma, they're like, the doctors always say, like, it's up to him now. You know?
I feel like they just say that to make the family
feel well. It's like, you know, the amount of negative effects that are associated with stress, like in just the release of cortisol in your body, and can actually lead to other things happening, diseases and stuff like that, purely just because you're stressed out, you have a shitty life, you release cortisol. It can suppress immunity. It can do all sorts of shit. So it's the brain has a lot of influence on everything, I suppose.
It's just so wild, like how everything's so, well, I mean, it makes sense, but it's like everything's interconnected. And as soon as something goes wrong, fucking everything goes wrong.
Yeah. Mm. Do you know what's a crazy disease that I was like, I saw it on House. It was just like
75% chance it's
yeah,
real.
Yeah. I saw it on House, but this chick like couldn't feel pain.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And she,
yeah, that's
she
was a genetic disorder.
She just couldn't feel pain at all. That's and then so like, wild. But she was like, really, really ill, but because she couldn't feel pain, they didn't know why she was ill.
And they couldn't, she like can't give symptoms.
She can't give symptoms. She doesn't know where it hurts. So it's just like, she's just getting sick and they have no idea what's going on. Cause like, that's basically half the thing. It's just like, does it hurt here? Does it hurt here? But they ended up finding out that she had this fucking tapeworm in her fucking intestines.
Yum.
So they had to basically cut her open and just like take this out, but they had to find like, it was fucked, dude. And she could just sit there and just watch her open the heart surgery because she couldn't feel pain. Like,
see,
it was fucked.
My issue with that is that now that I have all this medical knowledge, there are ways to find out there's a tapeworm without pain.
Yeah,
blood test. Blood test would have been through the fucking roof.
Oh, are you trying to promote your work on this podcast? No, I don't think so. All right, we're going to quickly do, we have this thing called Zaz Reddit Review.
Mm.
And I haven't got anything prepared, so I'm just going to fire one that looks fun. Basically, I read from the subreddit called Am I the Asshole?
Oh, I love I love judging people.
I love judging people.
You are the asshole. I feel like we can all agree.
It's usually always yes.
I read a funny one today, actually.
Okay. Yeah. This is why we need a producer, you know, so they can just already pull this shit up. See? Fucking.
Everyone's just Googling it.
These big wigs.
I'm on Reddit, bro.
These big wigs out there have like teams of fucking people and we just need a fucking asshole.
All right. So this one says, am I the asshole for telling my biological dad off? Well, I wonder what about.
Yeah.
My father and my mother divorced because my mom cheated. Oh, what a bitch. And it was hard on me growing up, but I forgive her. But for a while, I blamed dad for breaking up the family. My mother was there for me, so was my bio dad. He would always take me places and make me feel like I was the princess in his life. My mother married about 6 months later and my stepdad did the same thing my bio dad did and I felt loved by all three. My bio dad then got married and I still did stuff with him but didn't feel the same. It felt like I was sharing my dad. My stepdad treated like I was his only girl in the world and I felt like it felt like good soon. I hated, oh God. I hated being with my bio dad because I had to share him and I just stopped wanting to visit him. But he still treated me good, even bought me a car for my 16th birthday. I'm getting married soon and I gave my bio dad an invite and he said he couldn't make it because he has to work and he's sorry. I snapped calling him a failure and a bad parent. My dad yelled at me for the first time and said, you are such a sad excuse for a daughter. Your mom cheated and you've blamed me your whole life and put her on a pedestal. Sometimes I wish I had a son. Ooh. I started crying and went home. My mom heard the story and said I'm right, but my grandmother said your father is right. Your mother is part of the blame for the divorce. Now I feel bad. Am I the asshole?
I think
she's the asshole.
That one's a hard one.
Yeah, that's like, actually the most controversial one I've ever read.
Everyone's an asshole.
She's a child during most of that story, and her mom stepped, like, the mom's the asshole, I think, personally, but the dad should have done more to prove his point.
The problem is, I think the mom probably got custody.
Did you not hear?
Well, I grew up in a similar situation. My mom cheated on my dad and then my mom blamed dad. So I grew up thinking dad was at fault. And then like when I was like 16-ish, I started like being like, this shit don't add up.
You're going to be on the side of the house that you're in. That's the thing.
Well, yeah. And then I talked to my dad about it. Like I went to dad. I'm like, hey, this is what I know. Tell me your story. So she should have done that or the dad should have come to her as a parent and been like at an age appropriate time and being like, I don't know what your mom's saying, but this is what actually happened.
Yeah, I reckon there's probably more. I reckon she seems like she was probably giving her dad a lot of cold shoulder. The fact that she said
everyone sucks here.
Yeah, the fact that she said I'm sharing my dad and she just doesn't. I'm like, how entitled do you fucking sound there?
I don't know. When you're an only child,
he bought you a car. Yeah, but if you're an only child, it's just like, guess what? The fact that the stepdad is just like, my stepdad makes me her only one. It's because you are her. He's only one.
I think the dad is the only not asshole in this whole situation.
I think the dad should have done more as a parent.
What do you mean? She literally says, oh, we always hung out, blah, blah, blah. But then he got married.
The situation. So she's obviously like feeling left out. He's moving on with his life, right? She's not his only family anymore. She doesn't say how old that was. She could have been 8.
She could have been 8, but.
Like an 8-year-old's not going to understand that shit. And the dad should have explained it.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff, I reckon.
There's only two adults in this situation. And I don't think either of them did enough.
I feel like there's definitely one that
from what I'm reading of this, it sounds like the mum cheated, they divorced, the mum got married and
probably doesn't want to see the dad much.
And then the daughter got jealous.
But you don't know what the mum's saying to the daughter.
Exactly. I'm not denying that the mum was terrible.
Yeah.
And she probably fed her lies. And I'm not trying to blame it, but I feel like the daughter getting mad that she has to now share her dad with his new partner after he had to deal with a cheating wife and a divorce.
And a daughter that was on his mum's side.
Now she's being all like, oh, well, my stepdad gives me more attention. It's like,
oh, she's fucking, like, I'm not saying she's a dick. I'm not saying she's not a dick. She's definitely a dick, but I'm just.
But what part of that makes the dad the asshole?
That he didn't address the situation, I think. If you're an adult and your child is having these feelings, you've noticed. Well, he should have noticed that she felt left out and he should have addressed it.
Maybe.
It's not on the child to come to the parent and be like, hey, I feel left out. Because they don't know how to communicate their feelings. Sorry, I have a lot of emotions.
I feel on that point as well, though. Just because you don't know you're being toxic isn't an excuse of you being toxic. Like, I feel like at this point, as an adult,
well, again, the dad should have addressed that.
Yes, but she's it's not an adult just his fault. She's an adult now. She also has responsibility of her own actions.
Well, someone needs to bring it up to her. Toxic people don't know they're toxic. So the dad needs to be your toxic bitch. This is good.
This is the first time we've had
in the first debate.
I'm going to read the top two comments.
Okay.
The top one is, you're the asshole.
Yeah.
A massive asshole, actually. Your dad found a new wife and they wanted to start their life together. That doesn't make you any less of his daughter, from the info you've given at least. He hasn't treated you any differently than before and doesn't put his new wife's needs before yours. You say you're upset because you don't want to share your dad, but you wouldn't have to if your mom hadn't cheated on him in the first place. And
I also just say her poor fiance?
Mm.
Yeah.
You also have to remember that people who write these stories are always going to write it in the way that, oh, I'm the bad guy, I'm the good guy.
Well,
oh.
I don't think she is the good guy.
Yeah, that's why I think it's even worse than how she's putting it.
I love the ones where they're like, I've done nothing wrong. And it's like, holy fuck,
you're a fucking horrible person.
Here's a good one. So your mom cheats on your dad and you blame your dad for breaking up the family. Okay. Then your dad gets remarried and you blame him for not staying single. Even though it was totally fine when your cheating mom got married and you only value your father because he gives you a car. You are kind of awful. You're the asshole.
I agree with that.
I feel like that's back to Lizzie's point as well. If you live with your mother and they tell you things, you're going to believe that because your parents are your authority.
Whichever parent you're seeing the most and is feeding you information because you're a kid, you just absorb it all. Mm. Yeah. You're going to believe that.
And that's why fathers do get a bad rap in society sometimes.
Oh, it's 100%.
Because most of the time they're always going to go with the mother, even though and then depending on how you break up, the mothers could be just basically bad mouthing you every day. And then if your infant's under five, that's the entire of their entire personality that they're going to be getting about you. Unless obviously you're in their life as much as possible, but I mean, if that's the mother, I doubt they're gonna, they're probably gonna make it difficult,
I think that's one of the things of growing up as well, is that you need to acknowledge that some of the things you did when you were younger were bad, or some of the opinions you pick up.
I was a cunt.
Yeah, exactly. Like when I was younger, there's things that I look back on now, and I'm like, oh shit, I wish I didn't have that opinion, or I wish I hadn't said that.
I lay awake at night just so many times at shit I've done.
You're like, man, why'd I do that? Yeah. You're like, why? This is not helping.
But that's personal growth, is realizing that you're shame. Up.
Yeah,
shame.
Which is why I think she's more of an asshole.
Yeah, shame pushes you to better yourself.
It's like Big Mouth Shame Monster or whatever.
Dude, Big Mouth is one of the fucking most fucked up shows.
It's so good.
Most fucked up shows. Whenever I watch this show, I'm just like, dude, this is like
when they gave up on Shame. Oh my god.
All right.
That's an hour long.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Unless you have anything else you want to bring up quickly, anything you really wanted to just like bring up, tell people.
Tell our five listeners.
Hey guys, I miss you.
Oh, you heard it here first on your 27th favorite podcast.
All right, we'll leave it there then. Thanks for everyone. We'll see you.